You're listening to ListCast. If you'd like to reach us, you can email us at listcast5@gmail.com, or you can alternatively reach us at our website, post comments, or give suggestions for top 5 lists at listcast.podomatic.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to ListCast. Our topic for today is top 5 movie theater experiences. Now, we've left this a little vague because these experiences could be either good or bad, or have to deal with the movie or with the experience of actually being in the theater. So the subject is kind of open today. So Justin's going to start us off today with his number 5.
Okay, my number 5 is the animated movie The Lion King. Now, I mention this because I saw this movie, I don't want to say against protest, but I really didn't give a crap one way or the other. The reason I saw this movie was because I was babysitting two kids and they wanted to see it. So all three of us went, and I just was expecting to be kid-free for 90 minutes.
Those Disney movies will surprise you sometimes.
Well, yeah. I don't recall if The Lion King was before or after Beauty and the Beast.
It was after.
But it was definitely after The Little Mermaid, which was good.
Well, speaking of The Little Mermaid, I remember having kind of the same reaction to The Little Mermaid. Being dragged to go see it and thinking, oh, this is going to be stupid.
And then coming out
and like, man, it was really fun.
Yeah, well, when I went to this, I wasn't expecting to like it. I don't know why. I mean, I wasn't anti-animated movies or anything, but there was just something based on trailers or something. I just didn't really care. And we sat down for this movie, and this is an experience. This is why it's part of this list. Could not have been experienced in the home, or at least not without a really awesome home theater. Place went dark. Everyone fell quiet, all the kids. And suddenly, I was taken aback. I was like, holy God, what is this? And that great visual of the sun rising.
You're thinking something interesting is going on?
Well, the music grabs you right away. And of course, this is a theater. This is not at home. So it's loud and it's got your attention and it's bright and it's beautiful. And the visuals were really quite stunning. And as that whole scene moves on, which is an incredible movie scene, I don't care if it's animated or not, it is a gorgeous 5-minute opening scene to rival any opening scene in a movie. You know, the introduction of Simba to the followers, to the masses, was gorgeous. It's epic in a way.
And it is a cool opening scene.
It is.
I will give it
the badass opening scene with music to match the visuals.
The movie kind of gets under my skin. I've never been a big Lion King fan.
Well, you know, the movie has its kid moments and it has its adult moments. But when that final scene culminates with the boom of the Lion King title,
sure,
in a genuine movie theater, when that bass hits, I mean, you feel it in your gut.
Yeah.
And I got chills. I was floored. I was flabbergasted. I was like, rewind that shit. Let me see that again. Because that was awesome.
Last time I remember getting chills in a theater is when I saw the trailer for Superman Returns and they had the voice of Marlon Brando.
Oh, God, yeah.
The chills went through my body. Does anybody realize how cool this is?
Yeah,
and I'm thinking they probably don't, but no. Whatever.
My son.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
I was thinking, man, that movie might actually turn out to be pretty good.
Can't judge a book by its trailer.
You know the results.
Yes, I do. Shit on them. All right, what's your number 5?
Those shitters. My number 5?
Your number 5.
Now, I had a tough time with this list. My movie theater experiences have been kind of bland, I guess, in comparison to what yours have been. Because I know you said you had a You had a lot of good ones.
I think I've got some decent ones.
Mine, I couldn't really come up with anything that was really interesting. So I didn't really order them either.
So your number five would be?
My number five, I'm going to choose Solaris.
Hmm.
Now, I've told this story before. I don't think I've ever told you about it. Maybe I have. I went to go see Solaris with some work friends, and we were the only ones in the theater. And I was actually quite surprised that anybody wanted to go see this movie other than me. I didn't think it would hold any interest for anybody else, considering its genre, you know, sci-fi. Mm-hmm. You know, I was assuming they wanted to go see it because a lot of them were female and George Clooney was in it. That was my guess. I was probably right. Now, this movie has been discussed by us before. It's not a fast-paced film. It goes on at a very leisurely pace.
It is a mistake to become emotionally engaged with one of them. You're being manipulated. If she were ugly, you wouldn't want her around. That's why she's not ugly. She's a mirror that reflects part of your mind. You provide the formula.
She's alive.
She is not human. Try to understand that, if you can understand anything.
What about your visitor? The one that you're so ready to destroy without hesitation. Who is it? What is it? Does it feel? Can it touch? Does it speak?
We are in a situation that is beyond morality. Your wife is dead.
How do you know that? How can you be so definitive about a construct that you do not understand?
She's a copy. A facsimile, and she's seducing you all over again. You're sick. We are not taking her back with us.
I was fully enveloped in Solaris from the beginning to end. Fully enveloped. Really, really enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Now,
I think I got that.
Okay. Think you got it? Do I need to accentuate that more?
Give me another adjective.
When the movie ended and we were walking out, I was, you know, that feeling you get when you just come out of a good movie. You feel good. I felt good. Looking around at everybody else's face, and they had this kind of look of despair. And I'm thinking, what's the matter? And I'm like, that movie was really good. And they were looking at me like I was insane. Like, what are you, nuts? They're like, that's the biggest piece of shit that I've ever seen in my life.
They're like, we missed it. We were sleeping.
Yeah. They said it was boring, dull, and I was the only one out of this group. It was a pretty large group that liked it. And I thought this whole time when I was watching it that they were all into it too. That's why everybody was so quiet. And apparently I was wrong. I was the only one who liked it. Everybody else just thought it was the biggest piece of poo they've ever seen put on film. Just a complete turd. And I was really shocked. I was really genuinely shocked that nobody else liked this movie. I was the only one. But that's my number five. What's your number four?
For my number four, I'm going to go with Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope, for my number four.
All right.
The reason why it's on this list, the only time I was ever able to see this in the theater, because of my age, is when it was re-released as the special editions and Lucas put them out. Like most Americans, I have seen this movie so many times.
I wonder if you had the same experience that I had.
At home.
I'm thinking that we had.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
I saw this movie so many times at home. I mean, I knew it like the back of my hand.
Of course.
And so when I finally got to go see it, it just turned out, and I don't know why I did this. It wasn't the best idea, and that led to the problem. I ended up going to see a midnight show of this. I don't know why it was at midnight, but it was a midnight show.
All right.
And went there, and this was the first of the three. We knew all three were coming out in special edition form. Never seen it on the big screen. The trailer told you exactly what to expect with that little TV and Star Wars. And
that was a cool trailer.
Yeah, that got the point across.
That got me excited.
And that made you excited about Star Wars again. Yeah. And I get there, and I'm so jazzed. I'm ready to go. I was asleep within about 30 minutes. Happily sleeping in the movie.
Like I just said, I suspected, I had the same reaction. Now, I didn't see it at midnight, but I did see it in the re-release. And like you said, we've seen it so many times. Everybody's seen it. Everybody knows every single line of dialogue, every image. I was thinking, I remember this movie being much more exciting.
It was great to see it big.
Yes, it was.
But it wasn't enough. If I had seen it during the day, it would have been different.
By today's standards, it seems a bit slow.
But it's not. It wasn't the movie. I was seeing it too late. I saw the midnight screening of Superman Returns. You know, didn't fall asleep for that because I had not seen it before, and I was dying to see what the next scene would be, hoping that it would fix itself.
Hopefully.
But this movie, I knew it too well, and at midnight, I was tired, and even Star Wars couldn't keep me up on the big screen. Speakers blaring, I just snoozed right through it. Woke up somewhere, you know, towards the middle or end of the movie, and was like, okay, cool, let's watch the TIE Fighter fight.
Were you by yourself?
Yeah, I was by myself, okay. And just fell asleep. And, you know, nothing against the movie, but it was, just goes to show you, you know, you can change the viewing form, but something you've seen many, many times is, you know.
Yeah, I've never heard that story.
Yeah, put me right to sleep.
There's nothing you could have done, Luke, had you been there. You'd have been killed, too. And the droids would now be in the hands of the Empire.
I want to come with you to Alderaan. There's nothing for me here now. I want to learn the ways of the Force and become a Jedi like my father.
I saw Empire too on the big screen when that
Empire
came out.
Empire would be cool.
Unfortunately Empire, something happened in the middle of the movie. I ended up getting up, missing like most of it, and then coming back. But I didn't. It was the same thing. I just didn't care because I'd seen it so much. The fact that it was big was almost just a novelty, unfortunately, because I would love to genuinely experience those big, new, but you can't. It's done. So, anyway, that's my number four.
My number four, since you just did a midnight showing, I'll do my midnight showing. Ghostbusters, the first midnight show I went to. Since I'd never been to one, I didn't quite know what to expect. And like Star Wars, Ghostbusters is a movie we've seen many, many times. Know all the jokes, know the movie.
Sure.
One of the funnest experiences I've ever had in a theater. The house was packed. It was in the largest theater, full house. Everybody shouting up at the screen, cursing at the screen, making fun of it. It was an old print, had scratches on it. It was kind of like a grindhouse. It was just really fun. Everybody just got into the spirit of it. I just didn't think it was going to be like that at all. I just thought it would be a little dull because everybody knew the movie so well. Why I went to go see it, I still can't remember. It was a long time ago, but really, really fun, really fun.
Alice, I'm going to ask you a couple of standard questions, okay? Have you or any member of your family ever been diagnosed schizophrenic, mentally incompetent?
My uncle thought he was Saint Jerome.
I'd call that a big yes. Are you habitually using drugs, stimulants, alcohol?
No,
just asking. Are you, Alice, menstruating right now?
What has that got to do with it?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
I heard that's what it was like when a couple friends of mine went to the like a midnight screening of Grease, where everyone was singing along and having a grand old time.
Well, sure, yeah, with a
but
movie like
when
Grease.
I saw Star Wars, there was like probably five other people, and they didn't help.
No.
Had I went with a bunch of friends, it might have been different, but nope. Mm-hmm. I had a good nap. My number three, let's see, do I want that to be one? Do you... All right, my number three is going to be Hot Shots.
I've heard this story before.
you know, when that movie came out, the Zucker people hadn't done one of their movies in some time. And so to have a parody like this, you know, the first Hot Shots started the parody movies again. You know, everything was copying Hot Shots after that. So when Hot Shots hit the screen, I saw that in a packed house. No one saw this puppy coming.
See, I wish I could have experienced Hot Shots
in an
environment like that.
I laughed. I literally was laughing so hard for so long that I was literally in the midst of an asthma attack by the end of this movie because my lungs were so inflamed from constant laughter.
Cute. I like to stay in shape. Thanks.
He's all at home?
Yeah. The dogs, wife, and kids. You got pictures of your family. I'd love to see them.
I am my family photo.
But everybody needs a family to love.
I can never find time for love. It's too heavy. It's an anchor that drowns a man. Besides, I got the sky, the smell of jet exhaust, my bike.
A loaner?
No, I own it.
I can see I'm gonna have to work on you. Name's Pete Thompson, but everybody calls me Dead Meat.
Topper Harley.
Just a pleasure.
And the movie is genuinely funny, but to experience it in a theater with hundreds of people enjoying, there's nothing quite like a comedy.
Well, laughter can be very infectious.
Exactly. There's nothing quite like infectious laughter. Mm-hmm. When you're doing that same laughter with hundreds of people, man, and you are all in unison.
This multiplies the humor.
It is. Oh, yeah. You know, it makes a good joke a great joke. And just a great, great fun time. Laughing
come
my
out
ass
your
off.
Face is sore.
Oh yeah, it hurt to smile.
Sure,
but I had a great time, and I've never had a comedy theatrical experience like that again. But it was great. It was great fun.
I had one similar to that. It's not on my list. It's when I saw Napoleon Dynamite.
Really?
I saw Napoleon Dynamite in a full theater. Had no idea what the hell this movie was going to be. Turned out to be the kind of quirkiest dumb comedy I'd seen in a long time.
Right.
And with the element of infectious laughter, just made the movie that much more of a fun experience. But I definitely know what you mean by that.
Well, that's funny.
That is a good feeling. My number three is going to be Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
Okie dokie.
Okay. Hey, it's my list.
All right. Just tell me why.
Okay, Star Trek VI. Now, we all remember the great cinematic adventure that was Star Trek V.
Right.
Okay. Now, that, in my memory, was the first Star Trek movie that I saw in the theater.
Right,
I
have the same memory.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I saw a Star Trek movie in the theater before that. And that movie, some would call it disappointing. And it was.
You could say that.
So when Star Trek VI came out, and this is in the big flurry of the 25th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So Star Trek's kind of being revitalized.
Next Gen was
coming up.
Was almost at its peak at this point.
Pretty darn close. It was.
Yeah.
So TNG was running pretty strong in the 25th anniversary, so it looked like the original would have a bit of a hope again after the failure that was Star Trek V. And just months and months of watching behind-the-scenes stuff in that 25th anniversary special of Star Trek VI, getting to be so familiar with the movie before you even see it.
Right.
It was like that. That build up to seeing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You know, it's just like, I can't wait anymore. I have to see it now.
Right.
It was kind of like that. And the day it finally came out, I don't think I'd ever seen a movie on the opening day before.
Okay.
And I remember this. You probably don't. I bet you don't, because you had no idea why I chose this. I'd come home from school. I'd walked home. It was probably around 3 in the afternoon. I'm about to walk into the house, right? And I look up the street. And what do I see but Dad and you and Eric zooming down the street to go pick me up at school. But I'd already made home. And you guys were like, made a U-turn, came and picked me up. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, we're going to see Star Trek VI. I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go. Never been so excited before in my life.
I don't remember that at all.
I know, but I was like, shit, yeah. And the fact that Dad was in on this, I was like, cool, all right. He must have taken work off early to go take us to see Star Trek. This is awesome. So opening day, we make it into the theater. It's packed, right? Full of Trek nerds just like us. It's like, this is great. Now, the movie was good. That's what made it memorable, too.
Right.
The fact that it was good. Everybody was enjoying it. And the fact that you knew, okay, it's all Star Trek nerds. You know they're getting into it, too. And I'm like, okay, thank God this is a relief. It doesn't suck. And I'll always remember this moment at the end when Captain Sulu and Captain Kirk start shooting at the Klingon ship and it blows up. Everybody in the theater started clapping.
Right.
They were just, you know, hooting and hollering and clapping. We started joining in. So like, yeah, this is great.
The Klingon Empire, the ecological...
Key, please.
Key.
Where's that damn torpedo?
Shred it, Jim. Lock it alone.
Fire.
To be or not to be.
Target that explosion and fire.
Fire!
And I did see it in the theater again, and they didn't collab. It
wasn't quite the same.
It wasn't the same.
So I had actually the same experience, even though I saw Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, opening night, packed house.
You saw that opening night?
Yeah, it was just something. I got together with a bunch of work buddies, and we all went. And it was just a packed
house. After the second one, I couldn't muster myself to sit through
it. It was hard for me to want to, because the second one literally put me to sleep. Mm-hmm. But something about the energy of the theater, everyone was totally wrapped up in it. And I was this is not my style. I was so caught up in the experience of watching the movie with all these people that when the ghost ship pulls up at the end.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, towards the big finale, we have it. Everyone's fighting. It's starting to look gloomy for the good guys. And the ghost ship of all the good kings pulls up, and out jumps Viggo
Mortensen.
He jumps over. I literally, yeah! And I'm like, yeah! And I'm cheering. Everybody's doing it with me. And I felt like I started it because I didn't hear anybody. Sure. But it just came over me like a wave. And I was possessed, and everyone was in it. And so, I mean, I get that clapping thing.
Yeah.
But I did see... I don't remember seeing Six, because I don't remember that day. I mean, obviously, I was there. But
you were.
What I do remember was First Contact. And I remember going to seeing that with Mom, just me and Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And packed. We were so crowded, we were off to a small corner. And it was... Everyone was thoroughly enjoying it. Totally involved.
It was kind of the same feeling after Generations.
Pin drops. Being kind of disappointed. When the Vulcan ship started lowering down. I was like, oh, what's it going to be?
It was in there.
Yeah, even though we knew it was so... Yeah, right. I mean, when he lifts that cloak off, everyone was like, oh, I just wet myself. It was nerdgasm. So, I get it. Okay, for my number two, I'm going to go with Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I know you're thinking to yourself, this doesn't seem like a theater experience kind of movie. No. But it was because of... Well, it was an experience, I'll tell you what.
The movie is an experience, I will give you that. But I don't think you have to be in a theater to experience it.
Well, if you saw it the way I did, I was perfectly freaking sober for this, mind you. Me, two other buddies, we went, which I never do. I sat in the second row. We had no reason to sit in the second row, but we did. I had no idea what I was in store for. This movie is a visual trip. And when you're sitting in the second row of a good-sized movie theater, that screen is your field of vision. It is all that you see.
It envelops you.
And when this movie, like, within 30, 45 minutes, I genuinely felt like I was having a trip. Because it got in my head. The visuals got in my head. Depp's performance was so goddamn good that it got in my head. When he's looking at the things moving on the floor, I felt it. And it literally made me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to leave the theater because I was so... It made me feel like...
Sitting that close to the screen, I can imagine.
Yeah, and it genuinely fucked me up.
Well, as we were talking about,
it was weird.
I had not seen that movie before until...
Right.
Maybe a month ago when you loaned it to me. I didn't have the experience of seeing it in the theater and being with this big screen. I saw it at home, so my experience was a little different. But after I'd watched it, I sat kind of in silence and thought, God, I feel weird. Did I do drugs?
I know, it makes you
feel
felt right.
Like, I felt like I was on a drug binge or something.
I know.
I was like, God, everything's weird. What's going on? I can't take it anymore.
I know, totally.
The movie does that to you, so...
And imagine it.
Thank God I didn't see it.
It literally is in your head. I mean, when you're seeing it that close.
The fucking golf shoes.
I can't think in this environment.
There was only one road back to L.A. U.S. Interstate 15. Just a flat-out high-speed burn through Baker and Barstow and Purdue. Then onto the Hollywood freeway straight into frantic oblivion. Safety. Obscurity. Just another freak in the freak kingdom. We'd gone in search of the American dream. It had been a lame fuck around, a waste of time. There was no point in looking back. Fuck no, not today, thank you kindly. My heart was filled with joy. I felt like a monster reincarnation of Horatio Alger. A man on the move, a and just sick enough to be totally confident.
One of my favorite moments was still going to be that Gary Busey line. Give me a kiss. Give me a kiss. I was thinking, what's going on in this movie? Is this really happening? I was a bit confused.
Excellent play. Okay, all right. So...
Am I number two?
Number two?
Well, as I said, no particular order. I'll go with Wing Commander.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Didn't I see that with you?
Yes, you did. I'm glad you remembered.
Didn't we see that because the episode trailer was attached to episode
one?
No,
it was attached. It was just a coincidence.
That's why we went to go see it, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. I know you believe that in your heart, but you're wrong.
All right.
Now, we went to go see Wing Commander. I'm pretty sure it was in the afternoon, somewhere in the middle of the week. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure I remember that. Yeah.
Nothing else to do. Now, this was after Starship Troopers came out. So we were kind of high on that kind of campy sci-fi thing. So normally the fact that the movie has Freddie Prinze Jr. in it would steer us away from it. But since this movie was in space and had lots of laser guns in it,
we deluded ourselves.
We're like, we gotta go see Wing Commander, man. All right. So, you know, middle of the week, afternoon, nothing to do. We go see Wing Commander. I was looking forward to it. I remember you saying it as we were getting out of the car. You said, let's go see some Wing Commander, man. We were kind of jazzed. And we sit down. Now, the only good thing about the experience was seeing the episode one trailer.
Right.
That was the only good thing.
We paid like $6 to see a trailer. Yeah.
Then the movie started. Now, I've never had a physical reaction to a movie before. Not to this point, I hadn't. But as the movie progressed, I think it was probably about 45 minutes in, I became physically ill. I felt sick to my stomach. I didn't have a soda. I didn't have any popcorn or candy. I really felt the movie was making me sick. I felt like I was going to throw up. I really felt sick. And I was actually contemplating getting up and just saying, dude, let's bail. I feel sick. This movie is making me sick.
Why do you think they call me Angel? I grew up in an orphanage. Yeah, my parents died in the same war as yours. Sisters told me they were angels gone to heaven, so I prayed for them. They weren't angels. They were dead, gone. They never existed.
Like Bosch, man?
Emotion gets in the way.
Commander, emotion is what separates us from the Pilgrims and from the Carathi.
Lieutenant Commander Chen was... Boss Man and I got close. Right, we got too close. Then he got himself killed.
I guess because I didn't play this Wing Commander video game,
which
apparently was pretty popular. I never played it either. I know Mark Hamill was in it.
Yeah, I remember
it. Something or other. But I was really kind of excited to see this. I wanted to see a Starship Troopers-like movie. But this movie was just really hammy. The effects were actually okay. It was just bad dialogue, bad acting, silly story, silly effects on some of the aliens. Actually, side note to that story, I recently saw Wing Commander again, and I didn't hate it. I didn't have a physical reaction to it. I actually enjoyed parts of it. The movie has some okay stuff going on with it. Like, the actors were actually trying to make it a better movie, but they just didn't really have anything to work with. It wasn't their fault. It's just...
Well, it could also be that Freddie Prinze can't actually act.
The other actors. Forget Freddie Prinze. The other actors were actually trying to save the movie, because it does have good actors in it.
Uh-huh.
It has David Warner in it. It has the MCP in it.
I didn't even remember that.
I didn't remember it either until I just saw it again. But yeah, because I had a physical reaction to the movie, made me ill.
All right, gotcha.
What's your number one?
Okay, my number one. Opening day. Literally.
Episode one.
Literally the third show of the day. Opening day. I told myself, I'm not going to go see this opening day. It's going to be a freaking zoo. I'm not going. No way. Doesn't matter. Got talked into by a bunch of friends. Turned out someone worked at the movie theater. I waited in line for all of 10 minutes and was kind of snuck in. Episode one.
The Phantom Menace.
The Phantom Menace. If ever a movie was built up. It is.
There's Star never Wars been episode. More hype surrounding
there's,
the movie.
There's never been more movie surrounding hype.
People were going crazy over a trailer. For
oh yeah.
Sake.
People
were finding ways to steal the trailer. That's how hot this movie was.
I don't doubt it. We got in there, obviously a packed house. It was like Disneyland in that theater. Before, you know, when you just got that people movie with their music lightsabers playing. No, it wasn't like that. People were in the chairs. The people weren't up doing that crazy shit. But okay. They were loud. They were talking. Everyone was just excited, you know?
Sure.
And I'm right at that moment, I'm literally praying to God that everyone shuts up when the movie starts, right? Because I was like, God, I'm not going to be able to hear a thing. And the trailers start going, and people are really still talking, and I'm really starting to get worried. I was like, oh, no, this is bad. And then the Lucasfilm image comes up, and it's...
Everybody quiet.
I mean, it's like literally someone had a gun to their head, and you could, I shit you not, you could hear a pin drop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ping! And everyone's like, wah! Going crazy. But then they shut up real fast when the title started really coming because they wanted to read
it. They wanted to read it, yeah.
And they weren't going to miss a period. So the movie goes on. And it goes on.
And on.
And the movie was probably about 20 minutes in by the time I started self-editing the movie in my head.
When you knew that it was probably not going to get any better.
And that's when I knew it. This was unfortunately not going to work out for me. If during my first viewing of Star Wars Episode One on the big screen, I found myself editing the movie in my head, I realized there was no coming back.
I have a bad feeling about this.
I don't sense anything.
It's not about the Mission Master. It's something elsewhere. Elusive.
Don't center on your anxieties, Obi-Wan. Keep your concentration here and now, where it belongs.
But Master Yoda said I should be mindful of the future.
But not at the expense of the moment. Be mindful of the living force, young Padawan.
Yes, Master.
I think, well, it's a matter of kind of being stabbed in the heart, almost. Because they're thinking... No, this has to be good. I must be seeing this wrong. Something must be wrong with me.
Yeah, you know, but everyone just sat there just like like God was speaking to them personally, just listening to every word, and probably much like me, trying so hard not to actually process what they were watching and just hoping that something else was going to come along. Mm-hmm. And like I said, played to a silent theater, and just about everybody stayed for the credits, for every single credit, heard the Darth Vader breath at the end, and everyone just got up, quietly walked out. It was as though someone had died, and no one wanted to say anything about it. Mm-hmm. It was like we were all given terminal cancer, and just no one had the guts to say anything. I remember literally walking out down the aisles. No one said anything. We got out because I went with a small group. We're walking to the car. No one is saying anything. And you always say something after the movie. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to be that guy. And I go, well, so what did everyone think? And the comment was, let's just not talk about it. And that was it. We didn't talk about it. But it was a shared group experience that I will never forget.
I'm sure I would have had that experience too had I seen it in the theater. But as I was saying, I had a similar reaction to Attack of the Clones. Now, I didn't see Phantom Menace in the theater like you did, but when I saw Attack of the Clones and the movie starting, and it starts off with the ship flying through the clouds,
mm-hmm.
then it lands. It's a very kind of nice shot.
Eerie
and, yeah, mysterious. And I'm thinking, all right, there's some hope for this movie. And then all my hopes were dashed in about 2 seconds when one of the actors gets out and says, well, looks like I was wrong. Guess there was no danger at all. And then, kaboom! Then I knew that the movie pretty much suffered a fatal injury and it would never be able to recover.
Yep.
So, I wasn't incredibly disappointed, though, because I was kind of indifferent when I saw Attack of the Clones. But there was a side note to your story. When you saw Phantom Menace, I was hoping, really hoping, that the movie was going to be good. Everyone was.
Sure.
But we had our suspicions. We had our suspicions because everyone had analyzed that trailer to death.
And I remember Chris Kattan being on Conan.
Doing Jar Jar.
Talking about Jar Jar, going, right. There's the guy that's going to ruin Star Wars.
Exactly. And I knew you were seeing it this particular day. I was at home, and I knew you were at the theater watching it right now. I'm thinking, okay, he's watching it now. He knows whether it's good or bad.
Right.
I got to find out. And I think you said you were going to call home to talk to mom or something that you had gotten out or something like that. And you did. As soon as she got off the phone with you, I looked at her and said, "So what'd he say?" And she just looked at me really quiet and shook her head. "It's nothing." And I remember just my heart breaking and like, oh no, oh no. All that waiting and this, that's it?
That's good.
So.
That's funny.
Well, that's my memory of... So I experienced that through your experience.
Fascinating. That's funny.
But okay. That's your number one. So my number one? Well, my number one can't top that. My number one is going to seem pretty pathetic in comparison. My number one is Pearl Harbor. Mm. I was really jazzed to see this movie. I was genuinely jazzed to see it. I like any subject matter about World War II. I was kind of a History Channel junkie for a while, still kind of am. So when I found out they were doing a big budget movie about Pearl Harbor, I was like, oh, this is going to be pretty cool. It's a little suspicious about the fact that Michael Bay was directing this movie, because he had previously done some really bad movies like Con Air and The Rock and Armageddon, I think was before that. Or was it after? It was after.
It was after.
Yeah, well, okay, he did The Rock and like Con Air. Kind of bad.
No, he did Armageddon before, didn't he?
Nevertheless, he did some movies that were kind of bad. So the fact that...
Kinda.
Okay, really bad. Okay, really, really bad. The fact that his name was attached to it, I was like, I don't know about that. But the trailer... The trailer was one of the best trailers I'd ever seen that really got my attention, besides like the Independence Day teaser. Mm-hmm. The trailer was really cool, partly because it had nobody talking in it. One of the reasons why it worked. It had some... The music is what drew me to it.
Yeah, great piece of music.
Great piece of music. The trailer was badass. So the build-up to see this movie was really big. It was going to be a big summer tentpole movie.
Oh, yeah.
My friends and I went to go see it on opening day. The movie kind of took a while to get to Pearl Harbor, and everybody's kind of sitting there wondering, when's the harbor going to get bombed?
That's gonna right.
And the lead-up to it wasn't very promising. I knew we were in trouble. So I'm thinking, this attack sequence had better be really good. And it was okay. It was just okay. And it wasn't long enough to make up for the fact that we had to sit through about an hour and a half of cheese to get to it. And then after Pearl Harbor, the movie continued to last for like another 3 hours. Shit you not.
Right.
I kept looking at my watch thinking, is this movie ever going to fucking end? The movie's called Pearl Harbor, and Pearl Harbor's been bombed, and now Alec Baldwin comes into the movie and recruits Ben Affleck and Josh Hartnett to go fly B-24s to go bomb Japan. It wasn't about Pearl Harbor. Or they just should have called it Love Triangle. It wasn't anything about Pearl Harbor. It was an excuse to show some explosions on screen. Such a big disappointment. Targets aircraft and tank
factories. Colonel, you've given us the homing beacons, but you've also told us that China's overrun with Japanese troops. What do we do if the beacons are switched off?
You bring her down any way you can and do your best to avoid capture.
What do we do if our planes are damaged and we have to bail out over Japan?
Well, in that situation, I can't tell you what you should do.
What would you do, Colonel?
I wasn't built to be a prisoner. So I would have my crew bail out. I'd find the sweetest military target I could and drive my plane right smack into the middle of it and kill as many of those bastards as I possibly could. But that's just me. I'm 45 years old. I'm an old man. You guys have your whole lives ahead of you. So what you do is up to you.
It was an awful experience. It was disappointing, but the movie was so awful.
I loved watching him die in the end, though.
I was excited about
it. It's cathartic when he dies.
It is.
Well, I do have something of an honorable mention.
Well, I have a couple, too.
I have only one, but worth noting. I shudder to mention this because, A, it's a trailer, and B, I experienced it with one other person, but it was in a theater. But it is an experience I will not soon forget.
Is it with me?
No.
Okay.
It was with a girlfriend I was dating at the time who did not in any way like or entertain my like of Star Wars. And this is before the trailer to Star Wars Episode One came out. We knew it was coming. The hype was huge. We knew that trailer was coming. And she and I went to go see Mighty Joe Young. We ended up being the only two people in the theater. And, oh boy, I will never forget this.
Okay.
Boy, the wool was pulled over me. I'm sitting there, and it all goes dark. I'm pretty sure I see a 20th century logo. I think that's what it was, right? But either way, something about immediately I thought, oh my God, this is it, because I knew it was coming. And this is kind of...
You tell me they this, snuck it.
Hold
snuck
on this. Now, don't ruin okay. it.
All right.
This is the... I think this is the internet time, but kind of pre-internet. So really, it was word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting there, fades in, and it's... Am I looking at the Emperor's throne room? It sure looks like the Emperor's throne room.
Oh.
And it's panning in very slowly. My God, that looks like the Emperor's throne room. Every story has a beginning. Every story has a sequel, something like that. The ominous voice telling me, but we're going closer to this window, to this chair. Who's on this chair? I don't know. We're getting closer. We're getting closer. My heart's palpitating. I'm holding her hand going, my God, baby, this is it. And then the chair turns and it's Dr. Friggin' Evil. Who were you expecting, I let out such a sound that I would probably be embarrassed to have any other people see, but it was instinctual. I don't know. I don't know how it feels like to be assaulted, like physically, you know, mentally, that sort of thing. But that's how I felt. I felt like someone robbed me or something. I did find it, however, funny that I was taken for this ride and I fell for it like the friggin' sucker they hoped I would be. But it is, like I said, an experience I will never forget. And also, just pathetic. Because, God, I would have given anything for that to be the real Star Wars trailer. And that's exactly what that trailer was hoping it to
be. I remember having a very similar reaction to that, being like, oh, what is this? But,
yeah.
Anyway,
it turns out it's a funny story in hindsight, but at the time I was plenty pissed.
I would have been too.
I'll tell you what. Especially on the big screen, I thought, oh my God, this is it.
Yeah.
So,
I have two honorable mentions. They're not very interesting. Seeing Independence Day on the opening day, lining up at like 8 o'clock in the morning to see it. And then the movie kind of, you know, being what it is.
Right.
And then seeing Team America in the theater. Mm. It was kind of similar to your Hot Shots experience. Never laughed so hard in public before. My face was sore afterwards. When that doll started throwing up, I was on cloud nine. I just could not stop laughing. I was like, this is the funniest movie I've ever seen in my life. It's silly and stupid, but man, it's funny. It's got me.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen that with a crowd.
It was fun, definitely fun. But those are mine.
I enjoyed some of those. All right, well, that wraps up this episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and we will
catch you next time.
Yeah, talk next time.
Years ago, a battle was fought, and an empire was destroyed. Now, the saga will continue.
You were expecting someone else?
Yeah! Oh yeah, baby!
If you see only one movie this summer, see Star Wars. But if you see two movies, see Austin Powers.
That's right, Mr. Bigglesworth. We're back.
Oh, behave.
The Spy Who Shagged Me.
No, Mr. Bigglesworth. No, bad catch. Dr. Evil does not like to be peeping on.